You have some mighty interesting people online. Deeply disturbed, cranky lunatics on drugs.
Yeah, I'm so excited. All six of my nipples are tingling.
I'm looking around. I'm getting something I've never seen before.
Underestimate the power of the dark side.
What the hell are you doing? I'm banging that girl.
Am I an asshole? Do I look like an asshole?
It is December 26, 2005. I'm Digital Ebola. With me is Spore. This is our first show of Binary Bombermen, the show that's coming to you from Paris Hilton's underwear drawer, which, I might add, it is a balmy 70 degrees in the underwear drawer. And we hope to bring you a whole bunch of nothing. So, or something. Basically, we're going to cover the stories that's already been covered, but, you know, hey, it's better in the blog, but cheaper than a hooker.
This is for sure. We hope you all had a Merry Christmas. Well, I know I had a Merry Christmas, and really... because I had a Merry Christmas, we didn't have much time to get this together. So like Digi had told you, we're going to be just going through the news and current events and all that great shit. So what have you got for us lined up here, Digi?
Well, I figured we would start out with the CNN stuff because, hey, sometimes mainstream news has something kind of funny. And for our top story tonight, under the world category, Canadian swingers cheer ruling on sex clubs. That's right. Montreal, Quebec, or Quebec, however you say it, this is on a recent night out on the town. Mikkel and Chantel Della Becky left their suburban Montreal home and drove to the Lorange Club in the city's East End, where they had sex with a couple they'd never met before. So basically, the gist of this article is this guy who has this sex club, he's been fighting for like 8 years or so, and it finally went to their, looks like their Supreme Court, and they decided that these things were legal. Now, however, you know, when we think, okay, legalize sex clubs, you know, we can't help but, you know, contribute our own soundbite to this, so we believe that you'll probably enjoy this. Well, that's if the soundbite would work. Technical difficulties on the first show out.
Yeah, this is to be expected. Congratulations, Quebec. You have earned your sexual freedoms in your Supreme Courts, nonetheless. You know, it's funny. Normally, we're talking about grand indictments with huge jury decisions in our Supreme Courts, and, well, this kind of stuff makes it into Canada.
I guess all the more reason to immigrate. The thing is that thing would never go over here, not in a million years. They would never come out and say, hey, this is legal, but leave it to Canada. Hey, they can't own firearms, but they could sure have a lot of sex.
Well, you know, I've never been to Canada, but from what I understand, besides drinking and dog sledding, there isn't much else out there for those Canadians to be doing. So, hey, I can't really blame them.
Well, I think you just probably ticked off half our Canadian listenership out there.
I apologize. I'm not mad at the Canadians, just the French Canadians.
Yeah, we're all going to Canadian hell. It's really interesting, though. On this article, they say that the ruling sparked outrage largely in English-speaking parts of Canada. So I guess it's the French that are actually really, they're content with this. But it's going to open up an entire new industry over there. They're already talking about, opening up more clubs. I would assume that there's probably a lot over there already that have just been, hiding under the covers, so to speak.
Yeah, I would think so. It's interesting, too, because the Canadians seem to be more free sexually than America. Not too long ago around here, there was actually a sex expo that was being held here in Minneapolis, and Ron Jeremy was in attendance, Jenna Jameson was in attendance. It was called the Sex and More Show, and it was just basically a huge convention center full of KY jelly and vibrators, and you could go and get Ron Jeremy's autograph. But it was put on by a Canadian company that took it across the border down here in Minnesota, so it's pretty interesting.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, what they say? They say that, America is the most closed-off sexually country out there. I mean, everything's taboo here, and so, which is, again, you see this in our politics here, where you've got a guy that's just declared war on a country and has totally destroyed it, on stuff that was made up, but yet the previous president, they're thrown out, and impeached because he got a blow in the White House. So, leave it to America.
Very well put. Killing, yes. Sex, no. Remember, kids, no sex in this country. We have other ways of procreating.
Yeah, and of course, violence here is perfectly acceptable, so it's actually more acceptable to sex. So if you beat your lover, you got a problem. but it's a problem America can cure. If you do your lover in places that shouldn't be done, well, hey, you're going to prison. Gitmo hell.
Well, then I guess Bush was right. There's no sex in violence. So what do we have up next here, did he?
That's a hell of a pun there, too. I guess we should probably have a word from our sponsor, which just happens to be... We have sponsors, believe it or not.
This week at Vibrator Warehouse, we're having a sale on vibrators.
Three-headed vibrating dildos,
remote control,
infrared,
solar-powered,
laser-guided vibrators,
and kickstart vibrators.
And we've got vibrating Depends undergarments for you older folks. Come on in and test drive the Ass Blaster 2000.
It's Y2K compliant.
Ass Blaster 2000. Vibrator Warehouse is not responsible for injuries associated with Y2K. Some vibrators may run backwards after January 1st. The VacuSuck will blow instead of suck. The vibrating blow-up sheet will hiss and run backwards. Inflatable Debbie will bark and call you mommy. Some vibrators may burst into flames and explode.
Vibrator Warehouse.
Weapons of mass destruction right there.
I don't even want to know what's entailed with the Ass Blaster 2000. Oh, God. Yeah, I have no comment.
Yeah, it's probably got a... it's probably kickstart nitrous injected. Yeah.
Okay. And on that note, I think we may want to move along.
Well, sticking with the CNN theme, their top story is the slaying shock DC suburbs, and police are trying to determine what prompted 27-year-old Nathan William Cheatham to kill his mother on Christmas Day and then drive to another home in suburban Washington where he killed three others before committing suicide. that's one hell of a Christmas present. I mean, I bought my mom a TV for Christmas, but this guy, he just whacked her. it's like, ho, 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 you're dead. What gets me is about all these guys, they got a picture of him, and he's, looking pretty, evil and mean and stuff, but they always say their whole name. It's like Nathan William Cheatham, Lee Harvey Oswald, all these guys, I don't understand, it's like if you have a middle name and someone's saying your middle name, you're probably a pretty bad criminal. You've probably killed somebody, assassinated.
Yeah, you're either in big trouble with either A, the public, or B, your lady, because there's only two different entities that are going to call you by your full name. They give any possible motive as to why he slayed these four people.
Well, they don't really know, it seems like. And it says, this is a tragedy and would be on any day, but its occurrence on Christmas Day only seems to highlight our sense of loss and make our ability to comprehend that much more difficult. That was the Fairfax County Police Chief. This is Great Falls, Virginia, is where the story's out of. No one seems to know why. Apparently, the picture in the article is actually even eviler looking. It's the same picture as the front page, but they got like his neck or something, and it's just, yeah, he's a psycho.
Yeah, I suppose they can't really question him now, so it'll remain a mystery. Maybe he just didn't get what he wanted for Christmas.
Well, they said he had some contact with mental health professionals, but the details were unclear. Now, that's another thing that kind of makes me laugh, is a mental health professional. Obviously, they weren't very professional about it, because this guy wigged out and killed his mom on Christmas.
Yeah, I'd say so. It's time for that guy to throw in the towel on his mental health professional career. So, maybe it's just because he didn't get his Paxil for Christmas because his mental health insurance wouldn't cover it. Who knows? But obviously we don't want to make too much light out of this. Christmas was ruined for multiple people. On the same time, it's not very often that you have Christmas slayings. Usually everyone's a little too tied up in eating the turkey to be reloading their 9mm handgun multiple times and emptying it into people.
Well, I don't know. speaking of high capacity, you buy a modern handgun these days. You get 16 rounds in a mag, one in a pipe, and, you got three mags. That's a lot of people. What's amazing to me is, as sad as all these types of items are, people getting shot, that the people actually performing the heinous acts, they're not a very good shot. They're not thinking things through, obviously, it's amazing. If someone walks into a crowd and they start, just firing, you'll have, 15 people wounded and one dead, and that's very heinous, but, I don't think people think just how bad it could be, when someone snaps. People get killed with screwdrivers and hammers and cars and, what happens, somebody snaps, they just, whatever's available, it's got to be proof positive that people that go out there and kill these people or hurt all these people, they're not killing more people.
Yeah, really, it just might help to get a little bit of shooting range time in before you go on a maniacal killing spree. It's like them kids in Columbine, man. There was 13 injured or 13 dead and only a few injured. That's a lot dead, but these guys were running around with basically assault rifles, shooting the place up, and they had pipe bombs. I mean, I'm not suggesting if you're a maniac willing to go destroy the public that you go hit the shooting range a few times, but it might improve your aim beforehand.
Well, the thing about it is, too, is that, you know, when, you know, we look at this, and of course, this is very horrible that these type of things happen, but it could be so much worse than things are. I mean, yeah, it's bad when something like, you know, Columbine happens, but it could be, I mean, 100 times worse if they really truly thought it through, and that's something that always seems kind of strange to me that, you know, some of these people that are going to go off the deep end that they, you know, they don't do a better job, and thankfully they don't, but it leaves you to wonder.
Yeah, so, let's see, what do we got on the next item here for our agenda, Mr. Digi?
News
of the World report.
News of the World, happier news. Well, none of this is truly, the news isn't happy. You know, this is something that I saw over the Christmas holiday was that, you know, my little cousin wanted a PSP. And when I say little, he's like 14. We got him a PSP, and he wanted Grand Theft Auto. And, of course, we go up to do this Grand Theft Auto thing, and, you know, I'm in another state. You know, Oklahoma. I came from Texas, got my, you know, driver's license in, you know, it's Texas. And, they wouldn't sell it to him. And she's like, well, if you want to buy it, you can, but it's, you have to pay for it. And I said, well, that's fine. And so I whipped out the old plastic, threw it down, and she wants my driver's license. So I hand her my driver's license. She says, I have to be 18. Now, this is funny, because I'm 28. I'll be 29 in February. And she goes, sir,
yeah,
you have to be...
I know you're well above 18.
And, you know, it's like, sir, you have to be 28, or have to be 18. I said, I'm 28. No, you have to be 18. I said, look, lady, I'm 28. Finally, she took the license.
Wow.
You know, but... You know, he's going to go play Grand Theft Auto and, you know, be very happy about, you know, beating people over the head with lead pipes or whatnot. But you turn on the news or you read CNN or any of this, you've got all this stuff in your face, and it's real, you know. And we're talking about protecting our kids from some video games or something. There isn't very much happy news here. However, we will move on to FARC, which radio stations around
the
country use.
I do have one thing to add. As far as GTA for the PSP, one thing I thought that might be added for that, and I just looked up an article here on it, there's actually been an exploit in the PSP for GTA. This is coming from PSPFanboy.com, written by Rafael Espiritu. And it says, hacker master Fangita has uncovered what could be the doorway to getting homebrew applications on PSPs with firmware update 2.5. A demo called Hello World was successfully compiled via a goof in Grand Theft Auto Liberty City Stories, which allows unsigned code to be run via the game's save file. Nothing's happened yet, though, as far as running any homebrew through the exploit, but an e-boot loader should be available soon enough. Yes, people, this is a sign of things to come, and I, for one, am welcoming homemade applications and UMD loaders for the 2.5 firmware, which will give us the best of both worlds, both the web browser and as well as being able to play Pac-Man and Super Mario Brothers and all that great stuff that you can do on the PSP.
Well, that's just it. You know, hello world. You gotta fear that. But that PSP is, it's capable of a lot of great things. And there are other handhelds. I wanna say it's the GR2 that Gridmark keeps talking about that just, it runs the lakes.
Yeah.
That is a sweet handheld. If you could do the same things with the PSP, man, he don't have a leg to stand on saying his handheld's so cool.
Right, yeah, well, this exploit, I've actually been following it, because when I got mine, and we'll get to a review on this later that I plan on doing, but when I got mine, it was version 2.5 firmware, and the versions 2 and above, as far as 2.0 and 2.01, you can execute homebrew applications on it. I forget how they circumvent the security in that, but ideal is having 1.5, which doesn't even check for a digital signature when you're running code on it. So you can, in theory, downgrade to 1.5 and write your own applications. And there's actually a few different websites out there like PSPHacks.com and PS2Dev, and there's a lot of great Wykaizen and resources for developing for it. But what this will help us all with is just having another loophole within games to launch our applications and whatnot.
Well, that's just, you know, you're talking about circumventing the device's security. Given Sony's recent track record, it shouldn't be too awful hard.
Oh, no. And this wasn't even really so much Sony's goof up. I mean, it is in the way that they implemented their operating system on the PSP and everything. But what's really good about this is it's not just Sony, but it's also the game makers, too. And similar exploits have been found in other games, and they're actually looking at ways of getting at other games. And I looked at getting GTA today when I went out for some games for my PSP, and they are sold out. Word has gotten out about this, and people are just buying stores out of this game. So if you see a copy of GTA Liberty City Stories in stores and you want to be able to exploit firmware higher than 2, I would highly suggest picking it up before they release the patched version.
Oh, cool. Well, I need to get a PSP. That's just all there is to it, because there's a lot of fun. A lot of fun being had out there by people, and you know, that would be really cool to be able to carry that around. You know, I was even thinking the movie capability, but man, if I could run my own stuff on it too, hey, that'd be great.
Yep, that's half the reason that I picked mine up, is because I want to make some code for it. And you know what? The Wi-Fi on these things is really good. So those would make excellent little war-driving and war-strolling devices if you could write your own applications as far as hijacking wireless access points. Yeah, no?
Well, that's something like in my security assessments at work, you know, stuff that I'll go and do when I'm not doing my spooky stuff, you know, looking at access points around the facilities and trying to, you know, figure out what's open, what's not, because people cart them in, you know, it doesn't take much for someone to have an access point up on the network, and you've got like 20, you know, 2,000 odd people or whatever. If one of them brings one in, you've just opened up your entire organization. So, you know, you look really funny, take it from me, when you're carrying a laptop down the hallway. Everybody wants to know what you're doing, and they want to get in your way, and they want to ask you questions, and, you know, you want to be nice, you want to educate them on security awareness and all that, but you really ain't got time for that. You have a portable device, you know, an iPad or whatever, a PSP would be perfect, you know, doing those assessments. It would go way quicker, and you don't have anything to haul around, you know.
Yep. The wireless access points, and as well, I read a while ago, as far as the Apple PowerBooks are concerned, I know you had that the Mac Mini, but probably didn't play too much around with it, and it probably didn't have the Wi-Fi on it, but it is possible to use your PowerBook as a wireless access point. What you can do is you can just have your laptop wired into the network, and then it will receive incoming connections on the Wi-Fi card in an ad hoc mode. So basically you have opened up the network to the public, and what's even worse yet is it will confuse if your servers are running DHCP to authenticate you on the network. It will, since it's running DHCP, and I forget exactly how it does it, but it will confuse all the other servers and cause a real headache for the systems administrators and the network administrators.
Oh, yeah. And then, you see, like, my Mac Mini that I had, of course, you tell you Apple freaks out there, I took mine back. It did not want to sync right with the RCA Xenium, no matter what I did to it. I took it back. I really wasn't very impressed with it. so sue me. Anyway, it didn't have it, but I've got a laptop here. It's Toshiba, and, you know, I when I'm out and about, especially at con or whatnot, I'm running with 2 wireless cards. I'm running a, you know, Prism 2, and then I run a Cisco AeroNet, and so the Prism 2 is for sniffing, and the Cisco AeroNet is basically for pulling addresses via DHCP or whatever else I want to do. It's very effective when you got them running both at the same time. What I can do is I move into, you know, any area, and I want to bring everybody with me. Well, that laptop is effectively a gateway. Now, I've played around again with the host AP stuff, but where it really shines is, you know, in lack of a, you know, wired connectivity. If you got a little switch to haul around with it, You know, you just basically, you know, wire it up, and you can bring on as many people as you want, you know, as a LAN, mm-hmm. and that would be your gateway. And it worked for me in a couple situations very, very well. I was able to get, you know, like five or six machines on that wireless link, and that, you know, everything had connectivity.
Mm-hmm. See, another interesting thing to try out, too, with the PSP is since it supports an ad hoc mode in the Wi-Fi, another interesting application for it would be figuring out a way to convert it into a rogue access point and just be there to basically sniff traffic and dump it to a machine, because you can get internet to it through the USB. So you could hook it up to another machine through the USB and utilize the Wi-Fi and basically capture all traffic coming through it, pretending to be, say, a Linksys router or something like that. This is a lot of fun possibilities with that machine, and this exploit here in GTA Liberty City Stories definitely helps bring those possibilities to light.
Yeah, I imagine that it's only a matter of time now, and then everybody's going to be having some real fun with it.
Oh yeah, I know I will be. I'm just waiting on mine, and I hope I don't brick it in the process.
Let's see, world news.
World news.
More world news. This is coming from, I guess how you say, ASA, or AC, or whatever, the place that got hit by the tsunami.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's those Muslim guys that are over there. Well, tsunami was God's revenge for your wicked ways, women told. And basically, a Sharia judge who has ordered the punishment of women for not wearing headscarves was uncompromising. He stated, "The tsunami was because of the sins of the people of Asa." Now, this is... I like to say that these guys are alone in their extremism, but, you know, surfing around... they're by far, they're not alone in what they're stating. I mean...
I wouldn't imagine...
Now, I'll get to what we have here in a second, but just to shed some light on how some of these people have to live, is basically they have these morality squads that go around, and they're basically, you know, catching all the women that are hitting on guys, or catching all the women that ain't wearing their scarves, and they're putting them in the public square and ridiculing them. They're cutting their hair, they're throwing stuff at them, and it's, I mean, it's really backwards that here it is, you know, 2005, getting ready to be 2006, and we still have people in the world that are living like, you know, the Salem witch trials and you know, that type of stuff.
So take it from Digi, folks. The fashion police do actually exist, only it's more in Asia and the Middle East.
They do exist, and what's funny is, you know, again, we're not alone in this. Surfing around, stumbled across something that America's own Pat Robertson was talking about, the hurricane, and he blames hurricanes on the choice of Ellen DeGeneres to host the Emmys. This is what he said. You know, it's amazing. Now, I mean, I watch this guy from time to time, you know, as far as the things he says. You know, this man, he is whacked. He is completely whacked out of there.
He's definitely out there. Definitely way, 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 way out there. Wasn't he just in the news about the president of Venezuela calling for his assassination? Pat Robertson isn't the most stable evangelist out there, folks. So... Let's continue on.
Okay, President of Venezuela, this is like one nut calling another. So, it's like, you know, that guy, he's another crazy, except he's a commie. You got, you know, Pat Robertson on the other side, which, you know, about this article, you know, what this one was, that he had stated that God already allows one award show to promote the homosexual agenda. And he says, but he clearly he will not tolerate such sinful behavior to spread beyond the Tonys. Now, do you really think that God cares about these award shows?
Beyond the Tonys. They may get the Emmys, but they'll never get the Tonys.
this is completely messed up. And we have, you know, I hope the next 10 years that we don't have these morality squats going around. Now, some communities do. It's very, very informal. It's not necessarily government-backed. You've got, you know, people that go out and they're, you know, small towns especially, if you're doing something that they don't approve of, they're going to run you out of town. But we don't have anything quite set in stone and official. But if, you know, this Pat Robertson guy that's out there, people listen to this man. It can get worse.
Oh yeah, he might not be looked down upon as David Duke or anything like that, but his following is at least tenfold stronger, and they are pretty nuts. So that's to say the least about Pat Robertson and his posse. But yeah, no good. And I for one would like to know what the homosexual agenda is. I hear so much about it in the news, but I don't see any manifesto. Was there some document that I'm missing out on here, Digi?
I don't know. You're right. There is a lot of talk about the homosexual agenda, but no, I haven't seen an agenda, manifesto, declaration, or anything. All I know is don't go to San Francisco unless you're down with that.
Maybe they could convince Elton John or Sting or someone to draft up a charter or something so we know, clearly defined, what the agenda is. They need a strategy to win the war for the homosexual agenda, because really, as far as I see it, they are disorganized right now in the fact that they have no game plan.
Well, you get ready, you know, as soon as Bush gets done with this war on terror, it'll be the war on poop shooters.
I think that's all about that I have to say about this.
The war on your munghole.
Well, it says here in this article, too, in order to avoid further tragedy, Robertson called not only for the Television Academy to find a new heterosexual host, but to bar all homosexuals and bisexuals from taking part in the ceremony. Dude, that's like three-fourths of Hollywood right there, man.
I would almost venture it's probably more than that. And what's worse is he said employees at the Christian Broadcasting Network had put together a list of 283 nominees, presenters, and invited guests at the Emmys known to be of sexually deviant persuasions. Now, they're putting way too much thought into this. If this is such sinful behavior, they're really thinking a lot about it, because now they've comprised the list and they're checking it twice.
They're getting to be like Nixon, only their list is about 28.3 times larger.
Well, okay, you know, speaking of list, I know that you've got a Bush wiretapping article, I think, slinking around there. You know, here's what makes Bush's situation bad. You know, he's doing all this wiretapping on terrorists, but there was another article that I can't quote at the moment, but they said he had a laundry list, 10,000 large, of everyone in Washington that's ever opposed him. You know, everything from their sexual deviancy habits to, you know, if they had a coke problem or not, to everything they're into. I mean, and they proved that list when Valerie Plame got outed, you know, and all of that. Now, they're not, you know, they haven't been able to prove who outed her, but she was on that list, and so was her husband. You know, how do we know that what's a terrorist or what's not a terrorist, you know? I mean, they say that there's a fine line between, you know, between a terrorist and a freedom fighter, or a terrorist and a patriot. So at this point, it's anyone who opposes Bush. And, you know, Pat Robertson keeps a list of homosexuals. Bush is keeping a list of everybody that's ever gotten into his pie.
Yeah, 10,000 large, man, that is a good population of the country right there. I mean, You know, Nixon's list extended, you know, to his arch enemies, you know. It wasn't like that guy who flipped me off on the corner 10 years ago, he's on the list. That's it. That fucker's going down. No, this is how Bush is treating it, man. And I'm willing to bet you that all those, that server farm that they've got out there in West Virginia is definitely seeing a lot of action during his presidency.
Well, yeah, but to the NSA's credit, you know, now this is when you know it's bad. When you've got the NSA asking questions about, is this legal? That's when you know it's bad.
Yeah, they're supposed to know the letter of the law pretty well. And it's also bad, too, because, you know, we get the NSA, like, the thing is with all this spying going on here, I suppose we could segue right into this since it's pulling together on its own, but they're spying that's starting in the United States here. They're spying on the citizens who are supposedly having conversations across the world, and especially in suspect countries where they suspect there are rogue regimes or paramilitary groups that these individuals are contacting. So it's not even the fact that they're monitoring abroad. They're starting here and hoping that it leads abroad. And, you know, I'm pretty sure someone there at the agency would figure, that's not quite right.
Well, that's the thing, too, is about those paramilitary groups. Hell, we founded half of them. We put them there. We put Bin Laden where he was, you know.
Exactly.
You know, and we shouldn't have to spy on the American people and know who these people are, because we already know who they are, because we built them, we created them, and they've expanded. You know, that makes no sense whatsoever, but, you know, hey.
Yeah, pretty much. Everyone who's mad about Al-Qaeda right now, you should be mad at our now-deceased President Reagan. Because, remember Iran-Contra? Same deal, only Al-Qaeda and communist Russia were fighting, so... Oops.
Yeah, we were smack dab in the middle of that one, and, you know, we trained those people, we gave them stuff to fight the Russians. You know, right now, our only danger from Russia is the fact that they, you know, they're broke, and so they're gonna sell off their surplus, you know, to the highest bidder. And, you know, they're trying to make an honest buck, and I don't necessarily agree with it, but that's what they've become. You know, that was probably always our greatest threat. Sure, they had nukes. Sure, they could have launched their nukes at us, and, you know, but they never did. They were just trying to keep themselves on an equal footing as us. It was never going to happen. And then, you know, so us being the United States, we just keep sticking our finger in things, you know, until we create our own monster, and now we've got it. And what's worse is, not only have we created the monster, now the monster's coming back to bite the people, us, the citizens, that don't have it, you know. We don't have any say. It's a democratic republic here. You can get out and protest if you're willing to, you know, sit in a free speech zone nowadays, sit in a cage. It's for your protection, not anyone else's, but you're going to be 2 blocks from the place you're protesting. I guarantee it.
Yes, indeed. So I suppose we can go on with this NSA spying. This article comes from securityfocus.com. And it reads as follows. The National Security Agency has collected large volumes of phone and internet traffic that has crossed into or out of the United States in an eavesdropping program much more extensive than acknowledged by the Bush administration, according to a New York Times article published on Friday. In what has been described as a large data mining operation, NSA analysts have allegedly gathered a large amount of routing information from network data and email messages in search patterns that may aid terrorism investigations, the New York Times reported. In addition to questions regarding the privacy of U.S. citizens, detail of the program also raise issues about whether or not the U.S. government has the right to tap data or merely passes through the country. Media reports from earlier in the year suggest that the NSA was being positioned to be the nation's traffic cop. In some ways, the program resembles the Total Information Awareness Project scuttled by the Pentagon more than 2 years ago. That program, along with the successor run by the state of Florida, known as Matrix, attempted to pull together disparate personal information to general leads for terrorism investigations. So, This is basically a much, much bigger problem than people had speculated in the weeks before when this was leaked. So, really, this is letting us know that basically this Patriot Act that they've passed has allowed them unconditional monitoring of the American people, and that they really don't give a fuck whether or not it's illegal.
Well, you know, the bad thing is that not only do they not give a fuck, but the American people, you ask, you know, 10 random strangers walking down the street if they care, and they say, well, I have nothing to hide. You know, there's nothing that I do that's illegal, so why do I care? And people aren't even grasping the fact. This is one reason why our government can get away with it right now, while the last president can't even get a blowjob in his own office. It's because, you know, that affected them, you know, Clinton affected them, their core values, so they say. But here, you know, oh, I have nothing to hide. Go ahead, spy away. You'll be really interested in my mundane life. You know, and people don't understand just how vital, how important it is, and it really is more of a reason to use encryption more than ever.
Yes, indeed. And on the topic of, you know, morals and all this stuff and terrorism, I actually have an article, and I read an article the other day. Osama bin Laden's niece actually posed for GQ in some rather racy photos. Apparently she doesn't want to be associated with the terrorist leader. And I've got another one here. Apparently he's got more than one niece, which, from what I read, there's about 521 in the bin Laden family line. The former Saudi royalty had 22 wives, so you better believe he was busy creating a family there. But this reads, a niece of Osama bin Laden is launching a career as a pop singer. Wafa bin Laden, whose father is the brother of the world's most wanted man, hopes to release a single by the end of the year. She has been working on a demo tape since she moved to New York from London 6 months ago. Bin Laden, 26, has been dreaming of becoming a pop star since someone told her she had the looks and voice of a star. She has left her Muslim background behind and adapted herself to Western culture. She drinks alcohol, smokes cigarettes, and wears miniskirts. She even changed the spelling of her last name to the more Western Bin Laden, which is just barely spelled different. But I think it's funny that his own immediate family here is being caught in GQ with racy photos and pursuing a career as an American pop star. And it continues here to say, but still music producers are scared by her surname and refuse to work with her. Britain's Observer newspaper quoted a U.S. musician as saying that in trying to start a pop career, only one surname was worse than hers, and that was Hitler. So I guess good luck to you, Ms. Bin Laden, and I honestly doubt you will ever become a pop star in this country, but it is admirable.
Well, you know, I've got one question. One question only. Will she do a cover of Bombs Over Baghdad? That's all I need to know.
I don't know. I as not acting as her PR agent, so I really wouldn't know. I don't even know if she has a PR agent to ask that to. But I assure you that if she did, I would personally find it hilarious and soil myself.
Yeah, I mean, it would be more appropriate if it was a Saddam Hussein, you know, relative. But hey, we'll take what we can get.
We'll work with that.
something that's really amazing about the whole Bin Laden situation is, you know, supposedly he's, I think, ousted from the family, that, you know, they've disavowed him or whatever. But if you consider for a moment that if they hadn't, their company, I mean, which is really large, makes a lot of money, they launch satellites into space for a living. One arm of it does. I mean, they have rockets that go up to say Bin Laden. Now that's gonna make you wonder.
Yeah, that puts a whole new spin on Sputnik, folks. We'd really have something to worry about then. Those would probably be carrying nuclear payloads or something.
Well, maybe if she disgraces her family so much, they can shoot her up into space.
Well, I think she would pale in comparison compared to dear cousin Osama. So we probably don't have to worry about her being shot into space. So depending on her singing, we all might be rooting for it. All right, so in other news here, we're going to switch over to some more video game talk here because, well, everyone knows that the bread and butter of keeping yourself sane during coding session is video games. I have an article here, and I had actually found out about this a few weeks ago and decided to share it with a much broader audience because apparently people aren't hearing so much about this, and I'm not sure why, but it's definitely very, very, very important that you hear this. It says here, Microsoft sued over alleged Xbox 360 glitch. This is an article by Reuters out of Los Angeles that reads, a Chicago man who bought Microsoft Corporation's new Xbox 360 has sued the world's largest software maker, saying the new video game console has a design flaw that causes it to overheat and freeze up. The proposed class action claims that in Microsoft's bid to gain share in the $25 billion global video game market, the company was so intent on releasing the Xbox 360 before competing next-generation machines from Sony Corporation and Nintendo Company that it sold a defectively designed product. Robert Byers, who brought the suit, said the power supply and central processing unit in the Xbox 360 overheat, affecting heat-sensitive chips and causing the console to lock up. Now, this isn't the only problem that I've heard about this as well. I've actually heard cases where these Xbox 360s get so hot that the processors actually melt and that they start on fire.
Excellent.
Yeah. I mean, you know, who doesn't want the gift of arson for Christmas? That's why they sold out so quickly, folks. I'm telling you. It's because these processors are a new processor available called cell processors, where the core is actually, it's like three or four cores, I believe it is, on the chip, and the operating system is actually carried on the chip. So it takes a lot of the load off, so, you know, you don't have to store it in any EEPROM or anything like that. It drastically cuts down on the computing time. So the only problem, of course, is that these chips run so hot that you would need an insane coolant system, like maybe a liquid coolant system or just an incredibly powerful, noisy one to keep them warm. And even the PS3 that's in development now has been rumored to have the same problem, but I'm willing to bet that they will have the bugs worked out by the time it launches. They're saying an April release date, probably in Japan, but by Thanksgiving of next year is when we're looking to have it, and they should probably have the bugs out. And also here is another article that claims users report Xbox 360 crashing like mad. It says here, this is from Engadget.com by Mark Purton.
Great site.
So, yeah, it is a really good site. It's definitely got some good details. It says here, so the Xbox 360 has been for available, what, for 15 minutes? And it's already had reports of crashing that are streaming in. According to the on Xbox Scene and other fan sites, some early adopters are discovering that waiting online in the cold for 2 years to snag a box was the least of their problems. The game consoles are allegedly crashing during a variety of games and reporting a range of error messages. There's even a pickup on Flickr that purports to show the 360 crashing as Microsoft logo loads. Sure, it's too early to declare this a pandemic and start hurling Xboxes out of the windows, but it has us wondering, how's your Xbox 360 holding up?
And of course, so, you know you could fix that with a piece of string.
How's that?
Yeah, because that power brick, the power brick is gets so warm, that's the first thing to go. I think people have actually been tying their power bricks up where they hang off the floor, so they dissipate just a little bit more heat to keep it going.
Right. Yeah, I've actually heard this as being a big problem. Not to say don't go out and buy an Xbox 360, folks, but I'm not going to be because I don't support Microsoft in any of their endeavors. But if you're going to go get one, wait until the second or third generation Xbox 360 because you're just going to end up wasting $400 and some change on tax afterwards just to have a fireball. So you may want to avoid that at all costs.
Yeah, but the second or third generation Xbox 360, would that be like the Xbox, what would that be, the six?
The Xbox 5. There's so many. Oh, God. Yeah, I would definitely wait. But, you know, knowing Microsoft, instead of these units just melting down and burning, they're going to add explosions and then pissing on the ashes of your house. That's, you know, usually their idea of things.
Well, yeah, okay, it would be the Xbox 720. So not only will it blow up, but it's going to delete all your MP3s and all your illegal movies before it goes, and maybe it'll take your firstborn with it.
And it might insult your grandmother.
But at least it's not going to hiss and call you mommy.
Yeah. In other news, pretty much related to what we're doing right here, this is from Slashdot, News for Nerds, stuff that matters, shameful promotion. It says here, podcasting censored by government. PodCoward writes, VH is blogging that in Belgium, a former talk show host and now member of parliament for the biggest political party, Jurgen Verstappen, received a fine of 12,500 euro because he hadn't asked permission for his podcast. From the article states, the decision is apparently politically inspired and motivated by content, although formal reasons like non-compliance with Flanders media regulation have been put forward in the motivation of the decision to fine. The issue has raised some serious concerns about free speech on the Internet in Flanders, about the definition of broadcasting, and about territoriality. I can assure you, folks, we will never be censored. Not once, not ever.
We're going straight to hell.
Yeah, this is true, but we will have a little fun before that does happen.
Yeah, I do believe that we're going to have some fun if we, you know, so far just in this broadcast or podcast, we've managed to piss off probably the victims of Columbine, most of Canada, probably France too, and scare people with talks of a Bin Laden singer.
Please send all complaints to Dev Null. Thank you.
I would have to concur with that sentiment. Straight to Dev Null with you.
In Dev Null, no one can hear you scream.
But of course, you know, if you pipe Dev Null to audio, what do you have?
Static. There is that. I like piping Dev K-Mem so I can listen to my kernel talk to me.
Yeah, you know, if you pipe just your standard kernel to Dev Audio, you know, it's actually, you know, Linus, you know, saying, worship the devil, worship the devil.
Nice, very nice. For those of you that don't understand, it's not meant to be, so you really don't have to rack your brain over it. Those of you who do understand, congratulations, you're a fucking geek, just like us.
Yeah, what's really the thing? it probably also says eat more sushi. Eat more sushi. I understand Linus is a sushi fan.
Oh, I'm definitely a fan of sushi. I had no problem if my machine was suggesting that for me. I'd be like, "What? You want to come along? Let's go. Come on."
I think that's a problem for me because I remain broke.
You got a sushi port, right? Saddle up. Come on.
They ought to have Sushi Anonymous.
For sure. I think one of my friends, though, is getting sushied out. He's actually studying abroad over in Tokyo, and he's going to be coming back here for about a week and a month here. I thought about, you know, going out there with sushi for him, but he will probably want a nice burger by the time he gets back. So, sadly, in a month, no sushi for me.
Yeah, you know, over there, I think a cow might be a big thing to them.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, too, is the serving portions for beef are tiny over there. Apparently, you can't get a steak done right in Japan because they're so tiny. Not our big American steaks. No, no, my friend. And the same goes for burgers. They're very small portions, which is weird because, you know, I guess it's more sort of considered a delicacy over there, more in our definition of the sense. Like here we have sushi, but the portions are very, very small. And it's the same with them over with beef over there. And here the sushi portions are small, the beef portions are small over there, but the sushi portions over there are enormous. Like you only need one or two rolls or nigiri or sashimi or anything like that, two rolls will do you in. It's more considered a dinner over there, and it's not a delicacy over there. It's like sushi, it's what's for breakfast, and you're going to get a lot of it.
See, I'm going to have to go over there, but there's just too many people.
Well, you know, they are on an island no bigger than California, so and they do have a pretty huge population. I know that there are definitely some interesting experiences to have over there. Apparently, my friend sent me an email a few days ago and is at the train station, and he had Chinese whores asking him if he wanted a massage. Sent me an email saying, "Help, help, I've got Chinese whores trying to rub me long time."
Nice. Nice.
I also have some photos that I'll probably put up on the internet and I can send you too. He takes the occasional picture from his camera phone of all the English that he finds around. There's some very interesting advertisements, slogans written in English. Stuff like, "We sell a tasty life," and "It's so simple shrinking," and very unique advertising flair over there.
I know, just some of their game shows, where they have one that's like, used to be, "What's that smell?"
Yeah, I always like watching, what's that show on Spike? Super Happy Game Show, or it's something like that.
Most extreme competition or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. It's something one of us Americans made up as far as the name, but it's very close to what it would probably actually be called in Japan if you were to translate the Japanese name into English. I like that show a lot, though. It's generally pretty entertaining. They're definitely a lot more hardcore about their entertainment over there. Like, even if you just watch their version of Ultimate Fighting, man, those people get beat the fuck up.
Yeah, the MXC or whatever that comes on, they put those people through complete hell. I mean, it's one thing they're getting on TV, but another thing completely that they're just beating the living crap out of them and throwing them in mud, and it's pretty cool.
Yep, indeed. I like that. Let's see here. Should we do my PSP review?
Yeah, we've got time for your PSP review, and then I think we got to go.
Okay, sounds good to me. Well, folks, I admit it. I made the impulse buy. I got a PSP. Sure, after tax, it costed $250.25, but I must say, in my humble opinion, it's been worth it. So far, I've sunk maybe about $400 in games and peripherals, and honestly, I'm not feeling that guilty about it. And here I'll give you a review, because I know now that it's after the holidays, a lot of you folks are going to be wanting to buy and purchase, and the prices are going to go down a little bit. And basically, I'm here to help you decide on whether or not you actually want to get one. So I guess we'll start with the display, because everybody talks about the graphics with this handheld. They pine over it, and I must say the graphics truly are good. People do say that it's PS2 graphics on there, which I won't totally disagree with them on it, but as far as number of pixels that are actually on the screen, you don't get true PS2 graphics. It's a little bit grainier than a PS2, but overall, excellent graphics. I give it about a 9 out of 10 on the graphics portion, and if you're getting it to watch movies, the movies look awesome on them. They're also very cheap. They run anywhere from $15 to $20, and I challenge you to find a commercial DVD for anything near that, except for in the Walmart bargain bin, mind you. And like I had talked to before, the Wi-Fi capabilities, it's something that we haven't seen in so many handhelds. We've seen them in the N-Gage, that, you know, that piece of crap that Nokia put out that... Do they even sell those anymore? Well, it doesn't really matter.
No, they don't. they have officially end-of-lifed them because they flopped.
Yeah. I knew they didn't do too good because no one I knew bought one. I sure as hell didn't buy one because I'm not going to buy a gaming platform that came from a cell phone company, first of all. And they didn't really grab my appeal. But one of the things that they did have was that Wi-Fi. And supposedly the Wi-Fi was very good, and it was supposed to open up whole new, you know, dimensions of gaming as far as handhelds on the go and internet gaming with other people. And, you know, I have to say that it is a really handy feature to have. And Sony touts this as probably one of their most important features next to the graphics is the internet capability. You have the chance to ad hoc mode with the Wi-Fi, and you have the chance for infrastructure mode. Ad hoc is like if you're playing multiplayer in the same room with a bunch of other people. You could probably even play it in the same house with a bunch of people all sitting in different rooms because it's got good range. Infrastructure is for internet, and right now, truthfully, there's maybe about 7 or 8 games out there out of a total of, I believe, 50 titles out there right now that actually support infrastructure mode, which, you know, truth be told, it's a small amount, but, for instance, Fireteam Bravo, which is the game that I picked up with it, SOCOM U.S. Navy SEALs, it's actually got the infrastructure mode so you can play it online against other people. And I'd have to say it is actually a very enjoyable experience. The Wi-Fi is good, but for as far as gaming, you may want to make sure that you're sitting a little bit closer to that access point than if you were, say, browsing the web. Which brings me to the web browsing. If you're picking this machine up solely for the web browsing, I probably wouldn't recommend this handheld to you. For one, the browser is a little bit slow and sluggish. It's got support for JavaScript and maybe even a little limited Flash support, but for the most part, it's a stripped-down, even, I'd say, Firefox browser. And the thing is it's got two processors in it that clock at 333 megahertz. They're MIPS processors. They're, you know, MIPS is a little bit heftier than Intel x86, but still you're bearing a lot of load there when you're running stuff like a web browser or anything like that, coupled with only 32 megs of memory and then your cache size that's on your memory stick for when you're browsing. It can be a little bit hectic at times and a little bit slow to load. It's good for stuff like if you're Googling or something like that. I used it to check my Gmail account when I'm at work because there's a Wi-Fi point that I just leech right off of. And, you know, but I mostly use the Wi-Fi as far as the gaming goes. Otherwise, I just load simple sites with it because, and I think this is the oddest part, when you end up at like a navigation menu on a website and it's an image that when the mouse hovers over it that it changes to another image, the browser will actually take the time to load that image instead of just caching it. And so, like, Sony's site is probably, ironically enough, the worst example of this, because if you hover over those buttons, it'll spend that extra 5-10 seconds loading those other button images. So I would give the browser maybe a 5 to a 5.5 out of 10. It works, it does what it's supposed to do, but it's not full-featured by any means, and it is a little bit slow. You don't do any hefty browsing with it. As far as the UMD movies are great, they're cheap, and there ain't really much else to say about that. Battery life. Now, one of the big worries is, because this is a dual-processor machine that clock total at about 700 megahertz, is the battery life. Well, Sony touted about 5 hours of battery life, somewhere around there. Truth be told, with the Wi-Fi off, if you're not using your UMD drive, you will get about 5.5 hours out of it. If you're playing games online and using your UMD at the same time, you might get about 2.5 to 3 hours out of the actual handheld itself. But, you know, you can just plug it in anywhere. And Sony now is offering the times 2 battery pack as well as the 4-gigabyte hard drive, too. But truth be told, they are a little bit pricey. So you may want to steer clear of those until they get a little bit cheaper. All in all, if you purchase the Gigapack, you're going to be spending about $300 plus some change for tax. Games usually running anywhere from $30 to $50, depending on the title and who's putting it out. I guess overall, I would give the PSP an 8 out of 10 to a 9 out of 10, somewhere in between there. So definitely a good purchase if you're a hardcore gamer. If you're looking for the extra features, though, I would probably stay clear until they work out a few bugs.
So how would you stake, set that thing up against or go head-to-head with, say, a Nintendo product, Game Boy, SP, you know, Micro, or any of that?
Well, it actually will not interface with a Nintendo DS or any of those other ones because basically the PSP itself and the overlying operating system that it runs and the firmware just gives the program or the game direct access to the kernel, which, you know, it just gives it the system calls that it can use and everything. So all the protocol and everything, as far as communicating head-to-head in those games, is contained on those discs itself. So you basically can only use the Sony products with each other.
Well, what I was actually asking is how does it stack up? I mean, if you don't have much competitors out in that arena. Oh. You've got Nintendo and you've got Sony.
Well, as far as Sony compared to Nintendo, I will admit I am biased. I really hate the Nintendo DS. It really boils down to if you're down for the gimmicks like that touchpad on the Nintendo DS, which admittedly is a little bit cool, but by no means a practical add-on to your gaming experience. Who wants to be tapping a screen when you both need to have both hands on that handheld to be operating the thing while you're doing it, you know? But it really boils down between Nintendo and PSP as far as your game selection. It's very clear that the DS is more oriented towards your ages 4 to 10 because they have games like Mario Kart and Animal Crossing and Nintendogs and stuff like that. So basically, the Nintendo DS runs about half the price. It's not, I would put it on par as far as durability, maybe a little under. It's cartridge-based, so you do have slower load a little bit. The graphics aren't as good. It's basically something you would get your kid for Christmas. Whereas the PSP has your hardcore titles. They've already got 4 RPGs out for it. They've got one fighting game put out by Capcom, which, you know, is the king of comic-looking fighters. And I just today picked up Metal Gear Acid, so you get the Metal Gear franchise with that, the Grand Theft Auto franchise, the SOCOM franchise, much more your mature audiences gaming. That's really the big boiling point as far as the DS and the PSP is your selection. I would not recommend the DS personally because those are the type of games that I'm interested in.
You think we'll see a God of War port for the PSP?
There already is a God of War port, I believe, in the works. I know that they did port Prince of Persia to it as well, and they may have been working on Shadows of the Colossus for the PSP. I haven't seen too much in the GAP section of Sony as far as new developments. They haven't really come out with it or asked for anyone to beta test it right now, so they're kind of keeping the games under wraps, but you will see some newer games coming out for it because it's obviously been a success here as far as the handheld gaming market. And see, the thing is their strategy early on was just to port a lot of the PS2 games to the PSP, so you saw a lot of, SOCOM, you know, Call of Duty type games like that, and they took Star Wars Battlefront and Battlefront 2 and put it on the PSP and Grand Theft Auto. So you've seen a lot of ports, and now I would imagine they're working more towards like more unique games for the PSP. But so far we've seen a lot of fighters, a lot of shooters, and a lot of turn-based strategy and RPG for it. So it's definitely got a wide range.
Definitely some time killers for when you're stuck in that line or on that flight.
Oh, I'm bringing mine to work here in about 20 minutes here, and I'm going to be sitting on that thing all night long. Let me tell you, it does help pass the time.
Yeah, I could never get away with that in my job, but... Well, I don't know, there's been a couple of those meetings that I wish I'd had something like that in, because they just kept going on and on. You know, it's one thing, you get off in that corporate world, that people, they call them tactical meetings, where basically if you're pursuing an idea, you're trying to get somebody to do something and they don't want to do it, they'll just schedule a meeting, and you know, it's basically a lot of wind being blown around. And if I had a PSP during some of those, I probably wouldn't fall asleep.
Right? Yeah, for sure. I the only reason I get away with it is because I'm the only one there on the overnights, and I get maybe 10 people coming through there all night long, so it's nothing but coffee drinking and PSP playing for me.
I bet. Well, you'll have to let us know how the Metal Gear goes, for sure. That's definitely attractive, that and the SOCOM. You know, this kind of, when you was talking about how, you know, with the wireless, you know, you can possibly be, you know, in the same, you know, same house, you know, it's, you know, the wireless is that effective on it. You know, in Europe they have people that meet for sex with their Bluetooth phones. How long do you think until we see it happen with the PSP? You're out there playing some SOCOM and you run into the chick that that wants to shag you from two doors down.
You know what? It may not be that far off, really, because there is a huge homebrew movement for the PSP. I'll give you some links and stuff too, but PS2dev.org is a good resource to check out, as well as PSPhacks.com. And there's a few other ones. We'll probably put it up there at a later time and reference it on the show so people can go and check them out. But there is a development movement. They're basically just a bunch of PSP hackers that run their own Wi-Fi, and they have the protocol. They have the entire APIs and everything, and actually a tool set used for programming with the PSP. So we've seen a lot of applications so far, and I can't wait until this hole in 2.5 so I can start running my homebrew. I mean, I'd love to be at work and hop on IRC and IRC from my PSP, which, by the way, they do have an IRC client now for it. And there are also AIM clients, web browsers that, from what I hear, reportedly work better than the browser that's on the PSP that Sony produced. And there's just a whole different wide range of homebrew on there. So I wouldn't be too surprised if we saw something like that real, real soon.
Well, see, that would be the ultimate right there. If you had a wrist strap, you know, where you can, you know, put the thing on your arm, and then if you could interface it with a Twiddler corded keyboard, then it's kind of like a mini wearable computer at that point.
Actually, yes, they are coming out with a USB keyboard for the PSP. So there was a lot of speculation within the GAP community for Sony, which is the Gamer Advisory Panel. They're basically the people who beta test and do all the focus group stuff for Sony. There's a lot of debate on whether or not we'd be able to use keyboards with the PSP, and then a third-party vendor actually announced that they were releasing a USB keyboard. So we can look forward to that kind of stuff and actually program, you know, if we can break or circumvent, I should say, the security measures on the PSP, you wouldn't even have to upload code from your home machine. You could just, you know, type it on the go with you.
Now, I think if you could do a corded keyboard, that would be, you know, something very portable. It's in your hand. Once you learn how to use it, you know, you barely know it's there. And, I mean, you get a, you know, bright idea, you know, on the bus, or you're walking down the street and you know, just a little bit of code, you know, tap it out and there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or I had even heard reports of scripting languages
other than the one that is for the PSP, like Perl ports and stuff like that. So, you know, you could just run it through your Perl interpreter. And the fact that they came out with a 4-gigabyte hard drive means, you know, you could store all this stuff without having to change memory sticks or anything like that as well.
And so you may be seeing the foundation of a new mobile computer, or wearable computer,
exactly.
I should say.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeedy.
Well, sounds cool. I'm thinking I'm going to have to jump in on that eventually. It may be my my birthday present in February. But
for sure.
Looks like we're pretty much out of time. You've got to roll to work, and we've got to conclude our podcast. So,
yes.
I just want to tell everybody thanks for listening. I don't know if Sport wants to give his email out, but you can contact me to Rant Ray Flame, broil me raw, baby. Digiebola at gmail.com. That's DigiEbola at gmail.com.
Yeah, my email, if you do want to contact me for whatever reason, I suppose, is sigma_7, spelled out. If you don't know how to spell 7, I don't want you emailing me, at gmail.com.
Yeah, I expect quite a few flames, no doubt, especially from Canada. I guess before we conclude, shout out to our homies on Internet, Pound Legions and Pound Boomerang. Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, folks. Word
up. We'll hear. I know we'll hear from the Bantrix on the Canadian remarks, no doubt.
That's half the reason I made them right there. I love you, Bantrix.
So,
everybody, you guys have a happy alcohol-laden New Year if we don't broadcast before then. And as far as anything I've got to say, I've run out of time here, and I've got nothing for you. So we'll see you next time.
We're spent. Let us go. Be gone. Have a good one.
Like a monster.